A bit closer to home, there is a similar story unfolding down in Kerry. The Tralee oyster fishery was set up back in 1979 after the near collapse of the native oyster stock. Local fishermen and women refused to give up and they came together to restore the population. And today they are a cooperative of 200 fishers who both profit, farm and protect the fish in the bay. And now they want to take things a step further. They want to create a 4,000 hectare marine protected areas in the waters just outside the bay. Well, I went down to their base in Feenit outside Tralee to hear more, but I first spoke to Kevin Flannery, who's advising them. He's a well-known in Kerry for setting up the Dingle Aquarium and for his decades of work in fisheries. When I met him on the pier looking out west across the Atlantic, he told me what the cooperative hopes to achieve.
The vision is of sustainability of the fishing community, number one, for fishermen to make a livelihood and maintain themselves. Number two is for the environment in which they work, the product in which they take out of it, the oysters, the native European oysters, to survive and there be enough there for them to survive on. And number three is this eelgrass, which is basically a grass. It's an actual grass, not a weed, not a seaweed, not one of them, but it's an actual grass that grows in the shallow waters around our coast. But it is within that, that all the juveniles, it's basically the kindergarten for all the different fish species we have around. And we have to maintain that. As well as that, that's doing coastal protection as well as carbon sequestration. Now, what we're offering and what the fishermen here are offering and the society are offering is that they will stay out of all the eelgrass beds on the proviso that they will get assistance to hatch out more oysters and grow more oysters to maintain them. Working together, they can create this huge tract of area, over 4,000 hectares alone in one bay, that will be left just for this eelgrass for the carbon sequestration, while they will be able to maintain their fishery. You're looking at virtually all this area, all the way around all this bay, and it's a very big bay, and there's a huge volume of eelgrass. But your problem, we have the nitrate directive, we have issues with runoff, and it's killing because it is a grass. Eelgrass is, it's 35 times greater than your trees. So it is an incredible carbon sequestration product. It's actually greater if we utilise this all around the coast and maintain it, because they are the nurseries. And if you maintain the nursery, you have a future. But if you take out the nurseries, we have no future.
So is the vision down here that the eelgrass beds, you're pointing westward, we're on Feenit Pier and you're pointing westward, all around there. The idea is that the eelgrass beds, that would be essentially the marine protected area.
Yes.
That would be the place where the big fat, fecund female fish
will lay their eggs. And leave their young, and the whole thing will grow. Because the reason I got very much involved here is I was chairman of the Elasmobranchs and Raisin Sharks, and Tralee Bay and the northern area of Kerry is the Serengeti for sharks, rays and all these species, because you have a huge circle of life between spider crabs, oysters, starfish and dogfish, everything else. And we must protect those. And by protecting the eelgrass, we're protecting the kindergarten. By protecting the kindergarten, you're protecting the maternity wards, and you have the whole circle of life being safeguarded, including the fishing communities that are dependent on it. And that is my future hope for marine protected areas, that that can be done all around the coast in different ways. Working hand in hand with the various government departments, they can make a very good living. You will have nature restored and being maintained, because the best gamekeepers are the poachers. There is a future there.
Kevin, why is all this so important to you?
It's nature, it's communities, it's fishermen, it's their families, it's our way of life. We're not going to get manufacturing industry here. We will get tourism, but that's fickle. But the way of life and the importance of the species that we have is vitally important that we preserve them for the future. Not only for the future, but for everybody to see. Because if you allow the destruction of nature, there's no hope for us.
We'll see you later, Darren.
One of the fishermen in the cooperative is Alan Brown.
Oh, the sundown, she's a nicer boat, so she is. And she's a nice boat. She's
ideal because she's shallow drafted for the Iceland, because there's very little water up around there in the low water. So she's a lovely boat for Iceland, so she is.
We went out onto the sea in his boat and were joined by manager of the co-op, Dennis O'Shea.
Put a life jacket on.
And just ripping off the boat there now, Saya, and we'll head away out, taking in the lines. Iced a bit now, out into Tralee Bay, iced a bit, where our native oysters are out here. So, yeah. And then we shoot out our dredge, and then we haul it back in again after about a minute, and then it'll be full of shells and oysters. And then we pick through the heap of shells and things, and we pick out our sizeable oysters. Then we use our ring, our 78mm ring. And if the oyster fits through the ring, well, then he's too small, he goes back into the water again. So, yes.
Alan, just describe, I mean, obviously we're in the oyster fishery now in Tralee Bay, but then looking outwards towards the Maharees, there's a huge amount of potential out there as well, not just for fishing, but for restoration.
Oh yeah, they do. We're closing down areas there now so that for the smaller other fish so they can grow and things like that, and it's very important for the future of everything. The future, hopefully, is that with the biodiversity, that hopefully that even the areas are closed down, and if they're not fished and things like that, that small fish will grow again. And it's very important that we work with governments and things like that for the future of the fishing, and it's very important that they work with us. So it is.
Dennis, your members here in the co-op, what are you doing in terms of getting ahead of things with these marine protected areas?
Well, we have agreement with the members to close off over 4,000 hectares of ground within the bay, and that's mainly to enhance biodiversity and also help to sustain the oyster stocks. We are also looking at creating an oyster reef in the oyster bay, which again would enhance biodiversity and would also mitigate some of the erosion that is taking place on the shoreline.
So there's two things there. I mean, when you say close off, do you mean no fishing?
No fishing with towed gear. So that effectively it is closure. They'd be closed for any gear that's dragged effectively. But also these areas have quite substantial areas of seagrass or eelgrass, which is a major carbon sequester. And it's important to protect those areas for their benefits and also for the benefits of juvenile fish and shellfish, which tend to thrive in those areas.
You have experienced what it means to have a near collapse here, haven't you, in the past?
That's right. Back in the 70s, it was back to nothing hardly. And then the Tralee Bay Oyster Society was formed in, and from there on, it grew better and better back again. Like the fishermen, there was nothing there for fishermen, and the fishermen had to come together. So they had to, and for it to work, the Oyster Society had to be formed, and rules and regulations had to be brought into it, and it's doing very well since.
I just wonder what both of you think when you hear the discussions about marine protected areas and this push to have 30% by 2030. What do you hear when you hear those discussions on radio, on television and all the rest?
Well, I think it could be very beneficial if it's done in a proper organised manner, preferably from the ground up, because it is vital to protect those areas, particularly the areas with the seagrass. And also other rare and endangered species which exist in Tralee Bay, like the angel shark and the undulate rays. So these species need protection, and hopefully the closed areas will lead to enhanced populations of those as well.
There's an opportunity here for the fishing industry to get ahead of things, isn't there?
There is, and also, as I said, the enhancement of the oyster bed itself and the sustainability of the stocks, and which should lead to an increased income for fishermen as well. So there are many benefits to the marine protected areas.
So it makes economic sense to lay off fishing in certain areas because that's where your future profits are?
Yes, certainly.
And yeah. Fishermen know that everything is on a decline at the moment, so it's very important that fishermen are working with everyone for it to come back again, because there'll be nothing there if it keeps declining the way it is going.
What about the potential of tourism? I mean, obviously here, looking out towards the Maharees, people talk about this area in terms of the ocean as being like the watery Amazon rainforest. Potentially, huge numbers of tourists might come here. As fishers, how would you feel about that? And is there money to be made in the future from that?
Well, I'm a fisherman and we have a passenger boat as well, because we had no choice, only venture into that side of it as well, because fishing stocks are going down rapidly, so we're just kind of going into that a small bit as well now.
Could you ever imagine a time when fishing becomes a very small percentage of your income and that actually tourism is where your money comes in?
Well, I hope not, because fishing is in our blood and that's what we do. And
that's your identity.
That's our identity, and until the last day we'll be doing that, as I say. But like I said, myself and my wife, Mary, we do the tourism out of the lighthouse and back in again, and we do bits of angling as well. They actually love us around here, so they do, because you have, like you say, you have beautiful mountains and everything around us, and we've the lighthouse and all different things, and we explain to the people all about our fishing. So we do, we have a pot and things, and we keep lobsters and things in it to show the kids and the people, and our oysters as well, and we show them how we fish the oysters with the rings and things, and people go love it all together. It's a natural thing for us to do, because that's what we do.
And are the tourists that you get on your boat, they pay you to go out on your boat, are they interested or not in sustainability and about what's underneath the water?
They do. I mean, the groups that are interested in it, they take a fierce interest in it, so they do. So, and we enjoy explaining to them, because that's what we like doing.
Dennis, what about the potential of tourism?
Yes, it has an enormous potential in the bay, particularly given the biodiversity that's in the bay, as you mentioned, compare it with the Amazon rainforest. I mean, there's plenty of room for both industries to exist side by side.
Do you think that there has been, Dennis, a lack of leadership in this area, in the fishing industry, that the industry has not come forward with a plan that accepts that marine protected areas are going to happen and that this is how they want it to happen? I don't hear a lot of people like you guys who are getting ahead of the curve and actually saying, do you know what, this is how we want to do it.
It certainly does, and I mean, what we are proposing to do here, basically where we've identified areas of major importance that can be closed to fishing, is obviously a template that could be rolled out throughout the rest of the country as well.
That was Dennis O'Shea and Alan Brown from the Tralee Bay Oyster Fishery. And before that, you heard Kevin Flannery talking about their plans, and best of luck to them all. We're